favorites, and I never tire of singing it, although those high notes are a little hard for me, but I think I can fake it all the way through. It's helpful to have spirit voice right behind me. Helped me to get into it. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes, I have returned from my odyssey in Canada this time. It was wonderful. But you may have noticed I have something weird going on with my throat that I just kind of appeared last night. And so we are going to affirm together that my voice is going to make it through this next 20 minutes. Can you all hold that with me?
Yes.
Because we're looking at the Christmas story, during the month of December in Unity, we take the time to explore that well-known Christmas story through the lens of metaphysics. Metaphysics means beyond the physical, beyond the physical. And it refers to looking at the underlying meaning behind the symbols and the events and the characters that are written about in Scripture. Looking beyond the literal meaning to what the symbolism means to each one of us in our own transformational story of awakening. So this morning we want to look at the meaning of the divine marriage, the coming together of heart and mind, which is what Mary and Joseph represent. And we get that alignment happening in order to bring forth the birth of something new in our awareness. What child is this? Now, I don't know about you, but I love this time of year. Anybody with me on that?
Yep.
Yes. The music, the decorations. Look at how beautifully decorated our sanctuary is. The get-togethers, the food, the dancing, the gift-giving. And I especially love the magic and the wonder of the Christmas story. I love it. But we might be wondering whether this story is true or not. Is it mythology? Is it legend? Is it actually an accurate account of events? Did it really happen? And the answer is, I don't know. But what I've come to realize is that it doesn't matter, and here's why. Because encoded within the story is a deeper truth, with a capital T. It's the story of the soul's journey of awakening. It's a universal story. A story that's easily lost in the rampant commercialization of Christmas, but the story's meaning is clear if we look at it with the eyes of a child, beginner's mind. So what does the story of the birth of Jesus have to do with our own personal spiritual journey? Well, to find that out, we need to look more closely at the symbology in the story. You know, during my doctoral program, one of the more fascinating classes I took on was was on historical mythology. And as I did the research, I was very intrigued to find that so much of the symbology and the events that you read about in Scripture actually showed up in many other faith traditions that predate Christianity. And specifically, when looking at the Christmas story, virgin births, angels heralding the arrival of an avatar, signs from the heavens, all of these symbols you can find in much earlier traditions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Greek mythology, it's all in there, many more. And so many of the pagan myths that were alive long before Jesus had a savior of some kind, born from a mating between a god and a virgin at the winter solstice, the darkest, coldest time of the year. Does that sound familiar at all? The date we celebrate Christmas was actually chosen by Pope Julius in the fourth century in order to integrate Christian life into the Roman festivals that were taking place at that time. So the early Christians were masterful at taking current pagan practice and Christianizing it. But knowing this doesn't make me want to dismiss the whole thing. In fact, I find it even more fascinating. I actually take that as an exciting sign that these symbols have some real value and importance that because we see them so often, and that I should pay close attention because they have meaning for every single one of us in our spiritual journey of awakening. So with that in mind, let's turn our attention to some of the elements of the story of the birth of Jesus and listen to the narrative through the metaphysical lens and an open heart. Are you with me? So it all begins in the book of Luke 1:26, when the angel Gabriel visits Mary, a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And the angel goes on to explain that it's the Holy Spirit that will cause her to conceive. So imagine that moment through her young eyes. It's pretty extraordinary news to receive, wouldn't you agree? Would you feel fear if you heard this story? Especially you guys. But just imagine how strong your faith would need to be in order to not only accept this news, but to go beyond acceptance and blessing it. You see, that's what Mary did. She had the willingness, the receptivity, the childlike innocence to believe it was possible, to believe in the possibility. She had hope in the possibility, faith that something good was on its way. And all of us have that kind of faith within us because there's a Mary inside of every single one of us. A part of us that is such a state of purity and innocence that through it, something greater can be conceived and brought forth. And when we become still, open our hearts in gratitude, and in a state of willingness, openness, innocence, faith, invite spirit into our conscious awareness, amazing things can happen, can come forth, can be born. And what we're talking about here is our spiritual potential, actualizing it. And our part is to allow it to come forth, to let it grow and develop, and then bring it into manifestation in this realm, this physical realm. It's why we're here, to be the change that we're seeking to find. The spiritual teacher Krishnamurti was asked, "How can you possibly stay innocent in this world?" And his answer, "First, be innocent and then be in this world." We have to be the change that we seek. Be love in action. Be the truth in expression. Be the peace that we want to experience. Be innocence and bring that to the world. It's the greatest gift you can give. And we all have the ability to express our true selves to help make this world a better place through the innocence within us. And we access that through the heart. Mary represents the power of the heart. And through it, the pure intuition, the deeper intuitive intelligence that is available to us. And that's how the awareness of presence comes to us. Through the heart, through the feeling nature, through our intuition, through the purity and the innocence that we connect to through the heart and through our willingness to allow it to happen. Now, at this point, there's an interesting little side story that shows up. The angel tells Mary that her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant and that she should go and visit her. And so she journeys to the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And sure enough, Elizabeth is indeed pregnant. And when Mary is greeted by her cousin, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy at the recognition of the Christ presence. I love this story. So this child that is born to Zechariah and Elizabeth will grow up to be who?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, yes, the forerunner to Jesus' ministry. And it's an interesting little insert to the story. So what does this mean metaphysically? Well, when that baby leaps for joy and recognition of the presence of the Christ, it means when you and I are searching for that deeper self, for spiritual understanding, and then we find what we're looking for, isn't it a joyous experience?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you ever had an aha moment where you suddenly saw something you didn't see before? You had a recognition of something greater within you? The truth of our spiritual identity is cause for us to leap for joy. Anybody want to leap for joy this morning?
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah.
The first service gave it a pass. Thank you to those of us that are in a leaping mood. But not only that, not only seeing that truth within us can cause us to be filled with joy, but the real gift that we can give each other at this Christmas season is to recognize that something greater in each other. Do you see it? Humanity is divinity made visible. And every person has that innate innocence and value and worth, and our job is to see it for each other. Everyone we meet needs our spiritual perception, our recognition of their innate goodness, their kindness, their compassion. When we see it for another, we can leap for joy. And in my opinion, the work we do inside the prisons is so transformative for this very reason, that when we show up, we see them with those eyes, seeing their innate goodness, seeing their value and their worth. And just that alone is enough to help someone transform. Do you see it? Pretty exciting stuff. Okay, what about Joseph? Was he seeing it? Was he leaping for joy at this news? Not at this point in the story. So just imagine your bride-to-be comes to you and announces the Holy Spirit has conceived a child within her. Can you feel the drama in this story, the scandal? You know, would you be a little concerned with this news? Well, so was he. But then an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and lets him know all is well, the story is true, he can marry her. Now notice that the angel appears directly to Mary. They have a face-to-face conversation. The intuition has direct revelation. Joseph, on the other hand, gets the news in a dream, and Joseph represents the intellect, the rational thinking mind. Mary's the heart, Joseph the head. Spiritual enlightenment comes more directly through the heart, the feeling nature, the intuition, as it did with Mary. The intellect actually has to be asleep, see? Right? Like thoughts need to be stilled in order to get the message through. And the mind has to be open to receive it as well. Joseph had an open mind. An open mind is essential for this birth to take place. So here's a big question for every one of us. How open is your mind to the possibility of bringing forth something greater in your life? We need open heart and open mind. That's the divine marriage. So metaphysically, what qualities of Joseph do we have within us that can help to protect and nurture the coming forth of the divine presence within us? Openness, willingness, and expectancy that we will be guided and taken care of no matter what's happening on the outside. He followed his dreams. Whenever they showed up, he would do as he was asked. And then the strength, though, to actually follow through on the guidance we receive. That's the other piece to this. Anybody ever received guidance and not acted on it? So Joseph heard the voice and followed it. He did what as he was guided to do from within. See? And he devotedly cares for Mary. We need the right balance between the intellect, the intuition. Our intellect has to be in the right frame of mind, supportive, see, open, receptive to the birth. And when heart and mind come together of one accord, this is called the divine marriage. And the universe supports us, you see, when we align our thoughts and feelings, listen to guidance, and willingly follow Spirit. And when that marriage takes place, we can then experience the inner birth of the Christ, which is the dawning on our minds of the truth of who we are already. Do you see? So our story continues. Shortly before the birth of Jesus, a decree is sent out by the Roman government for people to enroll in their home city for taxation. And so Joseph and Mary travel to Bethlehem to participate in the census, Mary being very close to giving birth, and she rode on a donkey while Joseph walked. Now, a census is an interesting symbol when you think about it. What would be a metaphysical census? Well, think about self-awareness. Anyone in the 12-step program knows the value of doing a personal inventory, and that is looking honestly at the character traits, the beliefs that may be holding us back from expressing our true nature. What is in the way of this divine understanding of who we are coming through? What is it? So we have to take this inventory with compassion and kindness towards ourselves, with authenticity. The cue process can help us because we can see that there's a belief here that's been getting in the way of my awakening to a deeper dimension of who I am. A belief I'm not good enough, or the world's not safe, people can't be trusted, whatever it is that we've taken on from a young age. When we see it, taking that census, we can do something about it. We can now shift that belief. We can change it and have it no longer stay in the way. And this is important to us because here's the thing, as human beings, we were spiritual beings on the human realm, and that part of our humanity means we will only see what we believe to be true. Look online, any Twitter account or Facebook, and you'll see evidence that this is so. We see what we believe to be true, even if that belief's unconscious. So we want to bring it out into the light of day with compassion in order to do the integration work needed to change that belief. But it's not just taking stock of what's in our way. It's also looking within, finding the gifts and the strengths and developing those that are within us. And the end of the year is a great time to take this internal inventory. So think about what strengths you have developed this year. What challenges have you walked through and come to the other side? How have you grown into a greater expression of who you truly are? These are wonderful things to be asking your heart to show you, to reveal to you. Now, I don't like to get too mired in jargony metaphysical terms. When I was in ministerial school, I would, I'd do this whole presentation on the metaphysics, and my metaphysics teacher would say, "Jane, pretend I'm an intelligent 12-year-old. Now tell me." And that was a whole lot harder for me. I like to just quote all that jargon. It was very easy. But no, when I had to really explain this in a way that made sense to me and was a universal kind of understanding, that was more of a trick. But so what this story simply means is this: we have to be willing to bring our logical, rational thinking mind into alignment with the heart-centered, intuitive feeling. And when there's balance there, with self-compassion, we call forth the faith, the courage to look within, to see what may be holding us back from expressing the beauty and the innocence of our true nature, and we listen for the spiritual guidance we receive when we stay in that place of willing expectancy. And then we get ready for the birth of something greater as we take stock of our strengths and our gifts that can help bring it forth. This is our work. This is our work. Truly it is. Are you up for it?
Yes.
Because every single one of us is here to help bring forth a kinder, more compassionate, and peaceful world. The world needs us to be doing this work, and this is how we do it. So in our story, Mary and Joseph head for Bethlehem, but so is everyone else, it seems. And when they arrive, no room at the inn. So no room at the inn metaphysically is an indication of our spiritual condition. Do we have room in our hearts to allow this birth to come forth? If we can't find Christmas in our hearts, we won't find it magically appearing under the tree either. So what is our emotional state during this season? Are we filled with a sense of overwhelm, anxiety, worry, stress? Anyone feeling any pressure or stress during this season? Anyone? There's a psychological stress test that has been developed that attributes various stressful situations with a score. And a score of 200 is considered dangerous to your health. Someone came up with the idea to apply this test to Mary and Joseph's experience. And they came up with this. Pregnancy, 40 points. Unplanned, another 20. Getting married, 50 points. Failing to book a room in Bethlehem, 40. And I would add being 8 3/4 months pregnant and riding on a donkey. So Any of the women in this room who have given birth, how appealing does that sound to you? Yeah. So, and then, guests at Christmas. Whoops. All the shepherds, the angels, you know, coming back and forth. Little drummer boys showing up, banging on drum. No useful gifts, diapers or food. So here we go, 50 more points. This brings the stress level to danger zone of 200. So right from the beginning, Christmas has been a stressful time. But guess what? In the midst of all that stress, we can find peace. First, though, we have to deal with having no room at the inn. I recently read about how hard it was for Jimmy Stewart to make the movie It's a Wonderful Life. He just returned from World War II. He was emotionally damaged. He was raging, angry, didn't think he ever wanted to act again, thought that the movie was way too fluffy for him. But then, during the making of the movie, he got into it. And as the character he played, George Bailey, realized that his life made a difference to the world, Jimmy Stewart came to that same realization himself about his own life. He cleared out the inn of his heart and had a new realization take hold. You see? So we have the inn of our heart. What about the inn of our minds? Is there room in it for the discovery of the divinity within, or is it crowded with thoughts of the world? It's time for us to release any thoughts or beliefs that may be keeping us from being present and awake. There's a saying that the problems of humanity come from either thinking too small, thinking too big, or thinking too much. When we get so involved with the outer world, there's no room for the Christ to be born in our awareness. We're too preoccupied with what's going on outside of us to remember to go within to find that peace. And what's in the way? Our overthinking. So I'm going to invite Sean to lead us in this song. And if you can mute me, please.
Here's our key, James. If you're happy and you know it, overthink. If you're happy and you know it, overthink.
Good. Yes. Thank you, Sean. That's what happens when we clog up the inn of our minds. So we need to make room for the sacred. We need to make room for the holy. So I'm going to invite you throughout this whole Christmas season to take some time every single day in the midst of all the hurry, the pressure of the holidays, to get still, listen to your heart, clear out the inn. Are you thinking too small, too big, too much? We need to make room for the good to manifest in our lives, to quiet the busyness of the mind, and to allow the peace within to rise up. The theme for this second week of Advent is peace. Even when we're in the midst of it all, there's a place of peace that we can return to that is happening all the time, even with the chaos, even with turmoil. And when we return to that place, we discover the truth that God is the peace within us. Do you see it? It's the peace that never leaves. When Henry David Thoreau was close to passing on, a friend asked him, "Have you made peace with God?" And he answered, "I wasn't aware that God and I had quarreled." The peace of God is here right now, within every single heart. Can you feel it? Yes. We just have to release what's in the way of having us experience it, whether it's frustrations that we have, stress, blame, resentments, whatever it is. Same way that Jimmy Stewart worked through all that emotion and found something greater. Whenever we release this, whatever it is, then we can get quiet enough to claim the peace. We claim it, see, it naturally comes forth. And instead of just giving peace a chance, how about we give it our commitment?
There
Are you with me? The world's calling each one of us to evolve into our deepest, truest state of self-actualization, to step into our true power and to connect with a global wave of transformation that's happening right now. So are you in?
Yes.
Well, this week, open your mind to the possibility that there's something greater within you and become willing to allow it to come forth. Spend time in the silence, connecting with your heart, feeling gratitude for this possibility of something new, and let the deeper intelligence of your heart fill you with joyful expectancy as heart and mind come together. And now then look for the strengths and the gifts that you're developing. Watch for any overthinking that may be getting in the way. Take stock of your inner state. Is there room in the inn for this birth to take place? So then, allow the divine marriage to happen, head and heart, in alignment. And then take the time to let the sacred come forth in your life, the birth of something new. Recognize the presence that is the true reality within you right now. Find that holiness that is your divine birthright and get ready to leap for joy. And so it is.